कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर थारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन जमुना तीरावनचारी जमुना तीरावनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे जयो राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ श्री राधे प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद नीताय गौर हरि बो हरि बो हरि बो गौर हरि बो युगधर्म श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवदीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्ति भवति निष्ठकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3. Chapter is entitled, Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. Today we are discussing text number 11. Sastam atrera patyatvam vrita prapto nusuyaya anvikshiki malarkaya prahladadibhya uchivam sastam atrera patyatvam vrita prapto nusuyaya anvikshikim malarkaya prahladadibhya uchivam sastam atrera patyatvam vrita prapto nusuyaya anvikshikim alarkaya prahladadibhya uchivam. Shikim malarkaya prahalada dipya uchivam asamatrera patyatvam prapto nusuyaya anvikshikim malarkaya prahalada dipya uchivam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The sixth incarnation of the Purusha was the son of the sage Atri. He was born from the womb of Anusuya, who prayed for an incarnation. He spoke on the subject of transcendence to Alarka, Prahlad and others. Bracket. Yadu, Hai, etc. Bracket close. Purport. The Lord incarnated Himself as Dattatreya, the son of Rishi Atri and Anusuya. The history of the birth of Dattatreya as an incarnation of the Lord is mentioned in Brahmanda Puran in connection with the story of the devoted wife. It is said there that Anusuya, the wife of Rishi Atri, prayed before the Lords Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva as follows. My lords, if you are pleased with me and if you desire me to ask from you some sort of blessings, then I pray that you combine together to become my son. This was accepted by the lords, and as Dattatreya, the Lord expounded the philosophy of the spirit soul and especially instructed Alarka, Prahlad, Yadu, Hai, etc. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Ragunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sahadvaitam Zavadudam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanja Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयति गिरिं यत्कृपादमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारिणं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं परमानन्दमाधवम् हरे कृष्ण टेक्स्ट 11 वन्स अगेन सस्तम अत्रैरपत्यत्वं मृतः प्राप्तोऽनुसूयया आन्विक्षिकिमलर्काय प्रह्लादादिभ्य उचिवान् द सिक्स्थ इन्कार्नेशन ऑफ द पुरुषा वाज़ द सन ऑफ द सेज अत्रि who was born from the womb of Anusuya, who prayed for an incarnation. He spoke on the subject of transcendence to Alarka, Prahlad and others, Yadu, Hai, etc. Hare Krishna. Seek the blessings of all the devotees, so I can speak something on this subject matter that we are about to discuss today. So these series of verses from verse number 6 to verse number 27 are the answers to the fifth question asked by the sages of Naimisharanya to Suta Goswami. So today we are discussing the 11th verse. So the question that was put forward was, kindly do explain to us the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna's multi-incarnations. So kindly to explain to us the Leela avatars of the Lord. So this is one of the Leela avatar that is being explained today here in this verse, the sixth incarnation of the 22 incarnations. So we see in the scriptures, from Bhagavatam, from Bhagavad Gita, various reasons for Lord to appear and descend in this world. There are many, many reasons. There could be many, many reasons for the Lord to appear in this world. But broadly speaking, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that Lord appears in this world for the welfare and the well-being of human society. Tanna sushrushamananam arhasi anganu varnitam. Yasyavataro bhutanam kshemaya cha bhavaya cha. This verse appears in the first canto, first chapter, where it is mentioned that Lord appears in this world for the benefit, kshemaya, and for the upliftment of all the living entities. Apare vasudevasya devakyam yachitobhyagat. Ajastvamasya kshemaya vadhaya cha suradvisham. This verse again appears in the 8th chapter of the first canto where Kunti Devi is praying and she is giving list of reasons for Lord to appear in this world. And one of the reasons that she gives is Ajastvamasya kshemaya. Kshemaya means for the benefit, for the well-being of the living entity. Vadhaya cha suradvisham. So she gives various list of reasons. But again, here also she mentions that Lord appears mainly for the well-being and the upliftment of the living entities. One more verse appears in the 14th chapter of the first canto, where it is explained that Lord Krishna is residing in Dwarka along with his formidable Yadu dynasty. For what? Mangalaya cha lokanam, kshemaya cha bhavaya cha, aste yadukulam bodho, Adyo Ananta Sakha Puman. So here also it is mentioned, the word comes is Kshemaya, where Lord, although he comes for many, many reasons in this world, could be Dharma Samstharpanarthaya or could be Paritranaya Sadhunam, but in general, the reason for Lord to appear in this world is for the general well-being. So Lord's appearance in this world is all good. Lord's appearance in this world is benevolent. Now, someone may ask this question that what kshemaya did Lord Krishna do when he appeared in this world? No? In fact, he was the cause of such a huge war. No, he was the cause of killing so many people in this world. He induced, he forced Arjuna to fight and kill. And it was definitely an unfair deal, no, to kill so many people just so that these five brothers could get their rightful kingdom. So there are people in this world who, no, give so many reasons and so many arguments that what good did Lord Krishna do in this world when he actually appeared? Or no, they say that no, Lord Krishna just spoke some fantastic and bombastic words, no, and confused Arjuna. No, some people say like this. Confused Arjuna through his word jugglery. Or no, they say that Krishna promoted violence in the name of establishing religion. So yes, many people, they claim that Bhagavad Gita teaches that killing is okay. Anyways, human body is prone to die. Human body is anyways going to die. So killing is okay. This is the argument that people give. And such a teaching of Bhagavad Gita, no, gives license to indiscriminate violence. So what type of kshemaya did Lord Krishna do? In fact, our acharyas, they give a very reasonable argument and refute the opponent by saying that Lord Krishna or Gita does sanction killing, not because the body is anyways going to die. Marne wala hai, anyways sharir ye marne wala hai, to kaat do, khatam kar do, maar do. That's not the cause for killing. Krishna or Gita does sanction killing, not because the body is destructible, but because sometimes violence is necessary to protect dharma. So Gita teaches about the indestructibility of the soul and destructibility of the body to ensure that Arjuna doesn't deviate from his dharmic path due to being overpowered by sentiments. Now when people say that Bhagavad Gita advocates killing because anyways the body is going to die, that is just like saying a surgeon says that the patient is in pain, so might as well cut the patient. But Gita's argument is that if doctor or surgeon has to amputate the patient, that's not because the patient is in pain, but that is okay. The amputation is okay because it's necessary to save the patient. There is a difference in both. So patient needs to be saved. That's the need of an hour. Not that patient is in pain. So anyways, patient is in pain. So cut him. Anyways, no body is going to die. So kill the people. No, create violence. No. And if we go further, suppose a doctor who is expected to do good for the patient, if the doctor neglects the patient, and out of negligence if the patient dies, then who is culpable? Who is to be blamed? Definitely the doctor has to be blamed, is it not? If the patient died out of negligence, no, doctor's negligence, then naturally doctor is to be blamed. And the worst part is if the doctor is neglecting the patient and there is no one to correct the doctor, there is no one to bring notice to the doctor that you are neglecting the patient. That's worst. Similarly, if the martial guardians of the society, they remain inactive, they neglect, no, or they basically do not take any action, seeing the antisocial elements, no, creating havoc in society,
then who is to be blamed? Definitely the martial guardians or the kshatriyas or the kings are to be blamed. The leaders are to be blamed that they are just so dumb and numb and they don't look into the needs of the society. So the point is, if Krishna is pointing out to Arjuna that, Arjuna, you are neglecting your duty, and because of your neglect, so many people in this world will furthermore suffer, and that's a far more violence that you will create on them. If Krishna is bringing notice to Arjuna, is Krishna to be blamed? No, Krishna is one who is actually reminding Arjuna to do his duty. So Krishna is telling that, Arjuna, if you are inactive, then that inaction doesn't exempt one from sinful reaction. So inaction is not the solution. It's a bigger violence, on the contrary, because if the doctor just stands and does nothing and he gives up his surgery. And so we are discussing to prove this point that when Krishna appears in this world, when the argument is raised, when accusation is made that Krishna promotes violence, then these are a very reasonable arguments to refute. And above all, normally, a doctor, doctors treating the patient is considered very benevolent. Is it not? Yes, it is. And from the patient perspective, it's benevolent. But from the perspective of the germs which are infecting the patient, they think that it's a violence on us. So the germs which are infecting, they may think that it's a violence. So what is violence for the infectant, is benevolent for the infected. So who are the infectant? Infectants are the germs which causes probably violence on the patient. And the patient is the infected party. So if the surgeon is performing surgery, then the germs will think that probably, it's a sheer violence done on us. So that's the nature of this material existence, where a life of one living being sometimes requires the death of another. So Krishna's act may not always be pleasant, but they are always benevolent. Just as when a surgeon performs a surgery, even when the surgery is necessary, and even when the surgery is done by a competent surgeon, still it is unpleasant. The overall surgery is unpleasant. The patient doesn't feel pleasure. But the final outcome yields good. So although the patient doesn't feel good, but the final yield, the final outcome is good. Similarly, Krishna, being the supreme surgeon, may act in a ways that may appear to be unpleasant, but they are always benevolent. This verse appears in Bhagavatam, Netre Pibanti Nayanadhiramam Parthasiputa Padamapurasya. Where Lord Krishna's presence even delivered those who were fighting against Dharma. So Krishna's acts are all benevolent, kshemaya, although it may appear to be unpleasant and malevolent. So if we have to do something good for the society, we have to get into action, is it not? So how does Krishna does kshemaya in this world? Krishna does kshemaya, or Krishna's incarnation, they does kshemaya in this world by making a very powerful, positive contribution in the society. And this entire section of, or the series of verses that we are discussing, this series of verses, they are discussing, they are highlighting the distinct contribution that every incarnation has made when they descend in this world. Say, for example, Nar Narayan Rishi, when they appear, they contribute at different times differently. So Nar Narayan Rishi, they may have not like spoken on some system of philosophy, but they definitely exemplified, practically demonstrated and exemplified how to really perform austerity and perfect one's life. Or Kapila, the previous incarnation, the fifth incarnation, he remanifested the lost knowledge of Samkhya. And this world that we are discussing today, is speaking about how Dattatreya, he imparted the spiritual knowledge to Hai Hai and Prahlad and many others. The next incarnation will be that we will discuss is Yajna, who contributed by maintaining the entire cosmic administration. The next incarnation is Rishabhdev. Through his action and through his behavior, he contributed by demonstrating the path of perfection through renunciation. So every incarnation makes a specific contribution. And the next incarnation is Prithu. Now Prithu Maharaj, probably it appears that he did the material welfare. The Mother Earth stopped giving the basic provisions. Mother Earth thought that like father, like son. So Vena was so cruel. So naturally, maybe the son, Prithu, must also be cruel. So she stopped giving provisions. But then Prithu Maharaj, he actually not only did the spiritual, but also the material well-being. So naturally, spiritual well-being requires material provision. Unless and until we have material well, we are materially well-situated, we cannot truly practice spiritual life also. So we need material stability to practice spiritual life. And Prithu Maharaj arranged for the both, the material and the spiritual. Like this, various incarnations which appeared, these incarnations, they contributed to the society in different ways, in different forms, at different times, in different situations to elevate people. So Lord Krishna, in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he tells that Name Parthasti Kartavya Trishu Lokeshu Kinchana Nana Vaptama Vaptevyam Varta Eva Chakarmani. That there is no work, O Arjuna, that is assigned for me. Basically, he is saying that there is no work prescribed for me within all this plant, Trishu Lokeshu Kinchana, within this three planetary systems. Nor am I in want of anything. Nor have I a need to obtain anything, yet still I am engaged in prescribed duties. So that Supreme Lord who is not supposed to act, there is no need for him to act, he comes into this material world and contributes and does welfare for the human society. So basically Arjuna had so much potential to contribute in the society. And give his best by working, by contributing through his varna and ashram. But there was some strong mental and emotional block which was stopping him to contribute, which was stopping him to fight. So Lord Krishna spoke this Bhagavad Gita to convince him to do his duty. So, Bhagavad Gita is such an extraordinary contribution by Lord Krishna to this world. When someone reads Bhagavad Gita, one can actually contribute to his or her best ability. So, when Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was willing to contribute again and gave his best. So Krishna is teaching through his various incarnations that live in this world not for gratification, not for consumption or not simply for accumulation, but live in this world for contribution. So there is no reason for Krishna to come in this world. Secondly, there is no reason for him to perform work. And he could have just given orders for Arjuna to fight. But still, Krishna himself gets to the field and he is willing to go out of his way to work. So when Krishna appeared in this world, naturally Krishna contributed by being an environmentalist, by being an activist, by being a social reformer, or he contributed by being a feminist. So, although there was no reason for Krishna to actually contribute, but still, in various ways, Krishna is actually contributing. That Kaliya serpent polluted the environment, and Krishna actually removed the contamination by actually moving out Kaliya from Yamuna. So naturally, he was definitely an environmentalist. And Krishna, through his entire Govardhan pastime, he activated the Brajavasis to do the right. So naturally, he is an activist. And a social reformer, he removed all the bad elements from the society. So, he is definitely, a reformist and a psychiatrist. Krishna acted as a psychiatrist by giving spiritual knowledge to uplift, to remove the mental block of Arjuna by speaking Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna protected, the woman's, Krishna actually favored 16,000 queens, the queens by marrying them. So naturally, Krishna actually acted as a feminist. And Krishna, there are many more things. Krishna was a zoophilist. Zoophilist is someone who is a lover of animals. And we see, whether it's a cow, or whether it's a deer, or whether it's a peacock, or whether it's, any other animal, Krishna really did not promote killing of these animals. But on the contrary, Krishna actually favored saving them, supporting them. So Lord Krishna, he actually took opportunity and he grabbed opportunity. Actually, he's teaching us how to grab opportunity for serving whenever the need arises. So, he's always on the toes to serve Ugrasen Maharaj. In fact, Krishna is the member of the most formidable, and the powerful dynasty at that time. And he is the most powerful amongst the Yadus. And he even killed that tyrant Kamsa, who had terrorized so many Kshatriyas for such a long period of time. So after this dramatic outro, when Krishna killed Kamsa, it is mentioned in Gopal Champu that all the members of the Yadu dynasty, they actually came forward and they wanted to crown Krishna as the monarch. But Krishna, very humbly yet firmly, he actually said no. He said, I do not deserve this crown. This crown should go to the elderly member of our dynasty, and that is Ugrasen Maharaj. So Krishna, although he is contributing, but he is contributing without expectation and without taking any position. So here is the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that there is no reason for me to come in this world, but I still sambhavami atma maya. There is no reason for me to act in this world, but I still do take a proactive step to act and contribute. And above that, Krishna, although he contributes very favorably, but still he doesn't want to take position. So Krishna played the role of a ruler without taking the privileges of the ruler. So Krishna is focusing on contributing without privileges of the post or position. And we see, you know, how this, I think this is Vishnu Sahasranam. This verse comes, Yudhishthira Pratishthata Barhi Barhavatam Sakha, where Krishna even, this is not Vishnu Sahasranam for sure, but some other, where Krishna, he is happy to wear a peacock feather, but he is actually making Yudhishthir the king of this entire universe. So this is in a very sharp contrast, to today's leaders, who not only compete, who not only vie and die for position and prestige, but they may compete for a position, but they hardly contribute. So there are people in this world who want prestige and position without contributing. And here is Krishna, who is contributing a lot without wanting any post or position. Like we see that, here we have lawyers sitting, they can actually vouch that, throughout the entire legislative assembly that goes on, all these legislators, they actually simply quarrel over various resolutions, without any constructive, contribution. And the only resolution that they may happily, readily, and, unanimously pass is, basically how we can increase our post-retirement salaries. So this is an unfortunate scene where, they focus more on the perks and benefits even after the retirement, when they have become inactive. When they are active, they don't contribute, and they are thinking of making more and more, taking more and more benefit when they actually become inactive. So Krishna was focused more on the mission of establishing dharma in this world, rather than being focused or rather being concerned about the crown or position. So this is what Bhagavad Gita is teaching us, contribution without, much expectation or without much craving for position. But unfortunately, many people in this world, they have this misconception that spirituality is all about otherworldly. Spirituality is world rejecting. When people take up to spirituality, then they don't contribute. They become, in fact, a burden on the society. They become less productive in contributing to the betterment of the world. That's the misconception. So many people think that the traditional Indians or a traditional Indian culture is very much world rejecting. So if they hardly care for this world, then definitely they would not contribute much. They were more favoring other world. So now if that was the case, then how is it that Indian culture was the most prosperous culture for so many millenniums, for so many millennia? If people of India, if they were so much only thinking about otherworldly, if they were so much irresponsible about doing their duty and not contributing to society, then how is it that Indian culture was one of the most prosperous and a long-standing prosperous culture for many, many millennia? And if Indian culture was so prosperous, that was the reason so many invaders came and invade India. Now, a thief or a robber or an invader would not go to a house of a pauper or a beggar. But definitely, agar haath marna hai, toh bada hi haath marenge. So definitely, if they want to invade, they will go and invade that country which is the richest. So many invaders, they came and invade India because India was a poor country. Because the people of India, they were not contributing to society. No, India was the richest And that's the reason so many people, they just invaded India. And India was not just riches in terms of natural resources, but India was prosperous even in terms of human culture, human intelligence. Now, people think that, this Iliad and Odyssey, they are the only famous and the longest poem in this world. But if we consider Mahabharata is the longest poem, 7 times longer than the Iliad and the Odyssey combined together. Now, if the people of India, they were so lazy, they were simply thinking about the otherworldly all the time, then they would have not contributed so much. Mahabharata has 1,10,000 verses. If someone is, it takes a lot of hardship, it takes a lot of hard work to really work in that direction by composing a longest poem. So there are so many false accusations been made where people think that that Indians, they are not contributing to society. And especially those who are in the renounced order of life, they are in liability to society. And Prabhupada in the second canto, Prabhupada, second chapter, where this verse comes, Tasmad bhajanti kavayo dhanadurmadandam. Prabhupada makes a very profound statement where he says that the renounced order of life is never meant for begging or living at the cost of others as a parasite. The dictionary meaning of the parasite is a sycophant who lives at the cost of society without making contribution to that society. But a renounced order is meant for contributing something substantial to society and not depending on the earnings of the householders. And the first duty of the person in the renounced order of life is to contribute some literary work for the benefit of the human being in order to give him realized direction towards self-realization. So yes, spirituality is about world transcending, no doubt. Spirituality teaches us about world, how to transcend this world. But this concept is not complete. It's incomplete. This conception is correct. That yes, spirituality is about world transcending. This conception is correct, but it is incomplete. Why incomplete? Because spirituality is not just about world transcending, but spirituality is also about world transforming. So, if we are only concerned about the thereafter means future. If we are only concerned about the thereafter, then we become irresponsible and apathetic towards worldly duties. But if we care only for the here and not of the thereafter, then probably, we may become attached to this world and get blinded to the thereafter. So, spirituality or especially bhakti, it synergizes and balances the both, where we are being taught how to create transformation in this world by contributing and how to transcend this world by connecting to Krishna. So, bhakti has these two components, connection and contribution. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter 8.7, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mamanusmara Yudhyacha. So by Krishna is telling to Arjuna that Arjuna, you can fight or you do your duty by fighting, thereby contributing to society, and by cultivating remembrance, you can actually transcend or by connecting to me inwards, you can actually transcend this world. So internal connection with Krishna will help us transcend, and outer contribution to society will help us transform the society. So this is what Lord is teaching us through his various incarnation, how to make a substantial contribution in this world. So naturally, we have these know, two terms, Bhajanandis and Gosthyanandis. No, Bhajanandis are the one who's probably are perceived as someone who don't contribute, but they are simply concerned with inner connection. And the Gosthyanandis are the one who probably are more concerned with contributing by preaching or whatever, but they are less concerned about inner connection. But if we see this verse of Bhagavad Gita 8.7, we can actually conclude that a true Gosthyanandi is a genuine Bhajanandi, where a person who is contributing a lot to society can contribute only when he can connect himself to Krishna internally. Otherwise, it's not possible to contribute so much. So only with the inner connection we can do outer contribution. So a true Gosthyanandi is a genuine Bhajanandi, and a true Bhajanandi is a genuine Gosthyanandi. Someone who can really connect with Krishna can make a significant contribution to society. But unfortunately, we live in this world where we live in a culture which operates on a very restricted definition of success. What do you mean by restricted definition of success? Means only certain talents are being valued in society. Only if I am an engineer, only if I am a doctor, only if I am a lawyer, only if I am such and such, then probably I have some value. Only then I am considered successful. Or in the field of education, only if I can memorize so much, then I am considered intellect. Then I am considered intellectual. Or only if I am going to a convent school, then probably I am considered smart. If I am studying in a vernacular medium, then probably I am considered low caste, or I am considered someone, or I am neglected. So that's a very, very restricted and a limited definition of success. And because of that, what happens is people, they think probably I am good for nothing. If I can't speak English, probably the world will not recognize me. And that's the reason probably I can't contribute much. If I am not able to sing like others, then probably I am probably not able to contribute. So definitely memorization is a characteristic of an intelligence. If someone can memorize, yes, definitely it's a characteristic of someone who is intelligent. But that's not only the characteristic of intelligence. So the point is, why I'm saying this is, we are living in a culture where only certain talents are highlighted and other talents are being overvalued. Undervalued. So when certain talents are undervalued, then people can't contribute to their best. They cannot give their best, although they may have their inbuilt, God-gifted, wonderful nature, talents, inclination. So this type of limited understanding about success or limited definition of success is very much contrasted in Bhagavad Gita. Where Krishna is saying in the 18th chapter, Sve Sve Karmanyaviratah Samsirdir Labate Naram, that if one can work, Sve Sve Karma, one can work as per one's role, as per one's talents, as per one's ability, as per one's nature, some siddhir labate naram, one can attain perfection. one can attain success in one's own field. So naturally, what Krishna is trying to say, Krishna is giving a very broad definition of success. And Krishna is, you know, Krishna's definition of success is quite inclusive and quite democratic. Krishna is giving anyone and everyone a chance to become successful in life. Krishna is saying, if you have a certain talent, work over it. And by that, probably you can contribute as per your nature, as per your talent. So I may not be good at speaking, but I may be good at managing, or I may be good at cooking, or I may be good at just probably, you know, some other service. So every person can contribute in some way or other, in some form or other in society. No one can think, or no one should think, that I'm good for nothing, I can't contribute, I can't do much for society. So every devotee, especially when we are talking about devotee circle, we shouldn't try to bring this limited definition of success within bhakti culture, within bhakti circle. So we shouldn't think that only if someone is in a renounced order of life, then he can advance, and not someone who is in a other order. No, this is a typical wrong type of notion that is created many times. Or only those who can speak fluently, or only those who can chant, or only those who can sing, or only those who can manage, or only those are the frontline preachers, probably only they will go back to Godhead. That's not the case. So we should not try to bring this limited definition of success within bhakti culture, where Krishna is saying that everyone, can perfect their lives as per, their inbuilt talent. So, in fact, Prabhupada says in Prabhupada writes in one of this book, Teachings of Queen Kunti, where he says that there is no difference between a devotee who is on the altar dressing the deities and a devotee who is sweeping and mopping the floor, if they both are doing their service in the right spirit. So, this is what Bhagavatam is saying. Sthane sthita, wherever you are, you don't have to jump here and there, you can contribute to your next. Sthane sthita shrutigatam danuvag manovir ye prayasha ajita jitopyasi traisti lokyam. So the point is, I am not you, you are not me, and we are not them. Everyone is an individual, and everyone is born with certain talents and certain gifts. Rather than comparing and competing, if we can focus on our own talent and contribute in whatever way we can, then that contribution will turn into celebration. This is what Krishna is saying. I may not be a sandalwood tree which gives fragrance everywhere, but even if I am a neem tree, I can help in curing so many patients of their ailment. I may not be a mango fruit, which is so pulpy, juicy, succulent. But even if I am an apple or papaya or pomegranate or grape, I am always available all throughout the year in the service of the humanity. Now, mango is not available all throughout the year, but all these fruits are not seasonal, but they are annual. They are perennial fruits. So they are available all throughout the year in the service of humanity. Or I may not be a steering wheel, but even if I am a spare wheel, that spare wheel, will come to someone's usage or utility when no other wheel functions. So nothing in this world is useless. everything has its utility. Krishna is giving such a broad definition of success. Anyone and everyone can actually succeed in their own field based on their contribution. Now, when I was studying Ayurveda, there was this famous sloka that we used to memorize. This verse says that amantram aksharam nasti, nasti mulam anaushadam, ayogya purusho nasti, yojakas tatra durlabha. This verse says that amantram aksharam nasti, there is no akshar, there is no word in an alphabet which cannot be used as a mantra. Say, for example, I create a password and I have a password ABC. Now, what is mantra? When you actually type a password, that password acts like a mantra. The password is nothing but a mantra. Now, it opens up a certain files or something. So, every word can be used as a mantra, can be a potential mantra. Nasti mulam anaushadam. There is no root of a tree which cannot be used as a medicine. Ayogya purusho nasti. There is no purusha. There is no man in this world who is ayogya. This is what even Krishna is saying. Sve sve karmanya biratah samsiddhir. There is no man or a woman who should think that they are useless. Yojakah tatra durlabha. What is lacking is a yojakah who can actually use it, or use a right person at the right time in the right place, or can bring a combination of medicine, bring a combination of roots and make it into a medicine. So Prabhupada was a genius yojakah who knew how to utilize, how to bring people's different people, different talents in the service of the Lord. And when Prabhupada brought their talents together, then these people, in one sense who were unqualified, they could also contribute to society. So we can't have a one definition of success for everyone. No, the same definition of success that inspires and brings out the best in someone may not be useful for someone else. So that's why there is a saying that a shoe that fits one person may bite another. So I don't have to be you and you don't have to be me. We don't have to be someone else. We just have to be what we are and contribute. So, and when we have this understanding of success, then it's a big mental release. Because otherwise people live in this world with this concept, okay, if I'm not a doctor, probably I'm a failure. If I'm not an engineer, I'm a failure. If I'm not probably, doing... If I am not able to do pure devotional service at this level, probably I am a failure. Probably if I trip and fall once in a while in devotional service, probably I am a failure. But Krishna is giving everyone a chance to uplift. He is so inclusive and so accommodating. That's what the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is all about. 12.8 to 12.11. Krishna is giving everyone a chance. Okay, if you can't practice bhakti at this level, practice at a one stage lower. But do practice. So, this is how we can actually be freed from that mental anxiety and that pressure. Oh, only if I am this, then will I be recognized in society. No. In fact, this can actually help us maximize our contribution. Now, when Hanumanji was doing so many pranks, when he was small, he was doing so many pranks, so much nutcut, and so many sages were actually, in one sense, fed up of him. At one point of time, these sages had to give curse to Hanumanji. And when he was cursed, that, you are misusing your potential, and probably you are not using them in right direction. So may you forget all your, may you forget all that you know, all the powers that you have. And only when someone will remember, someone will help you remember, then you will be able to again contribute. So in connection to this pastime, Shubhvilas Prabhu in his book gives a very beautiful understanding. He says that although Hanumanji was nutcut, although he was naughty, but hidden within that act of naughtiness was the seed of sharp intelligence. And when that sharp intelligence was watered by encouragement, inspiration and patience, then the flowers of responsibility and the fruits of dynamic contribution automatically blossoms. So we know the contribution that Hanumanji made. So just because someone may be acting or behaving in a certain fashion at a certain point of time, we shouldn't tag them saying that this person can never improve, this person can never contribute. But on the contrary, we see here, Hanumanji's dynamic contribution when it was watered by inspiration, encouragement and patience. And we all know the story of this Peter, the crazy Peter. How Prabhupada told Satsarup Das Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada said, what's the problem? Can't you tolerate him? And over the period of time, when Giriraj Maharaj mentions that when this Peter who was being tagged as crazy Peter, after 30 years, when Giriraj Maharaj went to New York temple early in the morning during Mangala Arati, he saw the same crazy Peter still there. So he asked who this person is. So they said he is a well-known figure in the world of ISKCON. He is Kushakrita Das. So that same person who was being tagged at one point of time as crazy, when he was given some space, time to contribute, that same person eventually ended up nourishing so many people's life in bhakti by writing and translating so many Sanskrit books into English language. So who can contribute? Everyone can contribute. How to contribute? Krishna says, pranerarthe dhiya vacha. We can contribute in any form, any shape, through our life, through wealth, through our intelligence. How to maximize our contribution? We can contribute, but how we can contribute? First is inner connection. Unless and until we connect more and more with Krishna, we cannot substantially contribute. We can contribute, we can maximize our contribution when we work without expectation. This historic words say, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. When we have this understanding that Krishna is making me an instrument, why should I hold back? When we have this understanding, then we can contribute maximum. When we take inspiration from those who are contributing in societies, so much. Say, for example, Prabhupada, when we take inspiration from such personality, we can maximize our contribution. When we are conscious of this fact that we have so less time on hand, as life is so uncertain, we can maximize our contribution. Life is so uncertain. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, he said that probably, I have given the entire synopsis of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime in the beginning of Madhya Leela. But if time permits, I want to contribute more and more by elaborating on these pastimes. Now, thake yadi ayu shesh, vistariva leela shesh, yadi Mahaprabhu kripa hai. So these are the different ways by which we can maximize our contribution. And while we are contributing, we should not forget to appreciate and acknowledge other people's contribution. And this is what is the success of any community. When a community not only focus on one person's contribution, who is making contribution in a significant way, in a bigger way, but if a community recognizes and acknowledges and values the contribution, even if it is done in a small way, just like a contribution done by a squirrel, a contribution done by the trees of Vrindavan, Krishna is making a huge contribution, but Krishna doesn't forget to acknowledge the contribution done by even the trees of Vrindavan. Or we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just glorifying and he's recognizing each and every devotee's contribution. So, unfortunately, what happens is, we recognize and acknowledge and reciprocate with only those people who contribute in monetary ways. But, of course, no doubt we must acknowledge their service and contribution. But, in a community of devotees, everyone's contribution, even if it's insignificant, even if it's small, makes a lot of difference. So even from a screw to a screwdriver to a big JCB machine can offer its service to society. I will just end with this one simple pastime, a simple anecdote where Prabhupada is appreciating a contribution made by a young neophyte devotee who has just entered into Krishna consciousness. There was this devotee of the name Nathan who had just joined Haight Ashbury Street Temple in San Francisco. And this devotee, a new bhakta, he was into basically fixing up temples and fixing up sankirtan vans and doing all these sorts of activities. So when Prabhupada was coming, the devotees told Nathan, you have to quicken now. You have to fix an altar for Prabhupada. So he had very less time on hand. And he, whatever he could, he tried his best to fix up the altar for Prabhupada and did some decoration. When Prabhupada came, Prabhupada saw that altar. Prabhupada asked the devotees, who has made this? So Prabhupada said, there is this devotee called Nathan. Prabhupada said, call him. When Prabhupada called him, Prabhupada actually appreciated him so much. And what had happened is, this young boy, Nathan, he had wrote a letter to Prabhupada before Prabhupada came to San Francisco. And in that letter, he had mentioned to Prabhupada that, Swamiji, I want to serve Krishna in whatever way I can. So when Prabhupada met this boy and Prabhupada saw that this Nathan has constructed this temple, this altar. So Prabhupada said that the letter that you wrote is not an ordinary letter. And the desire that you express that I want to serve Krishna in any form and shape, this desire is a very rare manifestation. If someone is saying that I want to serve Krishna in all possible ways, that means that person has done devotional service in the past. So Prabhupada is saying that you were devotee in the previous life. And this young boy who had just constructed a small altar for Prabhupada, he got so inspired that he was eventually initiated and he went on to become this devotee called Nar Narayan Prabhu. So Nathan became Nar Narayan Prabhu, and Nar Narayan Prabhu has practically constructed so many, he has been involved in so many services since then. And this devotee mentions, he recalls that this one appreciation by Prabhupada was enough for him to carry along in Krishna consciousness all throughout his life. So yes, whoever we are, in whatever big or small way we can contribute, if as they say, pankhdi, full nahi to pankhdi sahi. If not in a big way, small way, let's contribute. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthasrama Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveda Gaur Bhaktavinoda.